you to replace Jacob with your name there. So it would sound a lot like Dahlia. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, Dahlia, can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Can creation, any of all creation, be compared to God himself? And the answer is absolutely not. There is nothing on the face of this earth that can be compared to Almighty God. So look for a second. What is your trouble? What stands before you to say, you know what, it's far bigger and far greater than God himself? And the answer is there's absolutely nothing. What worries you? Can it be compared to Jesus himself? The answer is no. Jesus stands alone. He stands alone, and he is true, and he is just, and he is ready to save. The great I am, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is worthy of all glory, all honor. Now, guess who else needs to cry out today? Guess who else needs to cry out? That is his creation, his beloved ones, the ones who Jesus himself died for, the ones who Jesus was willing to give it all up for the sake of his bride. His bride needs to stand up, and this is what I'm encouraging you to do this morning. You know, I know that you're home, and I know you're sitting, but the same God who's here is the same God who's there with you, and the same God who's here that deserves all praise is the same God that is with you right there, and he deserves all praise. So can we unite our hearts together as one and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can we lift up our voices and our hearts before him and say, you alone are worthy of all praise, because he absolutely is worthy. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our hearts, not just half, not just a half heart, but all our hearts. The King of Kings, the one who gave it all, is worthy of the utmost. He's worthy of all that we can offer. So what can you offer him today? All of your heart. That's what he's wanting. So let's gather together in Jesus. Here we are. We're coming before you empty. We're coming before you with nothing else to offer but our pure hearts to you, Jesus. We want to spirit and in truth. We want to worship you in holy adoration, because you are absolutely worthy. We acknowledge who you are in this place, the great I am. We acknowledge who you are in this place, Jesus, the one who died for us, who gave it all up for us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Would you have your perfect way? Have your perfect way in this place. We adore you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for making yourself so real to us. And here we are before you, at your feet. We give you our all, and we worship you this morning.
Touching earth. touching earth and spirit break out, break all walls down. Let heaven come down.
storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. And Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble.
You've got us in your hand, Lord Jesus. How I love you.
There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. And freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom if you're tired and thirsty. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Yeah. And if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. And give your all to Jesus. Jesus reigns. And my Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Fullness of joy at your right hand, our pleasures evermore. When we choose to look to other things, when we choose to look at other aspects in this world, Lord God, we forget the freedom we have in you. When we look at other things, we think we're free from this religion. But in fact, this isn't religion, this is freedom from the bondage that we hold on in this world. We don't want to hold on to anything anymore, God. We let go. We allow your freedom to reign wherever we go. Your presence to be all around us, Lord God. May people look at us and experience your presence because we're filled by it, Lord God. I pray you take out every darkness inside of us and fill it with light. Fill it with your goodness, God. Fill it with your presence and your peace. There is peace in your presence. So that means anxiety and depression and drama and self-hurt, all gone. Because your presence cleans, destroys everything that's not of you. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Would you speak to us this morning and open our eyes, our ears, and reveal yourself to us? We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name.
Is there anyone? Hello? Hello? All right. The mics are too close to mic. I tried. I got some courtesy laughs. Thank you. Is everybody awake now? Is this too close, too far? Is this my good side? I'm not sure. Just comment in the bottom if this is my good side. Just comment. Well, God bless you, everybody. Still a little loud. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. I bet some of you guys were wondering, what happened to Philip? This is him. Sorry, I am filling in for Philip today. Philip, I love you. Habibi, I love you. God is good. Amen. You know, one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite memories, we're talking about it the other day, was when Alyssa was younger. She's not here. I could embarrass her, and you can't say nothing right now. But when Alyssa was younger, she was playing a game, and she was playing a game where there was these horses. I don't know if you guys seen it in the carnival game, and there was these horses that you would throw the ball, and the horse would move, and it was a race, and you guys all seen it? Just pretend we have. But anyway, so I was standing behind her, and as she would roll the ball, and as she would throw it, and she would get a good number, she would do this. You guys ready for this? She was playing, and I'm standing behind her just watching her play and enjoying her time. And she would roll the ball, and whenever she would get something good, she would go like this. This is what she would do. And she would get excited, and then the horse would move. And then she would roll the ball, and she would go like this again, and she would get excited. And that's one of my favorite memories of her youth. There's a lot of troubles in the... No, I'm kidding. But that's one of my favorite memories, that she was getting excited, and she was rejoicing. And I say that because I was thinking of our brother Philip, our dear brother Philip, who gets excited when he hears from the Lord. So I'm going to ask right now, okay? I picked on him a little bit, but I'm going to ask right now, those here and those, I thank you, the millions and the millions that are watching online by faith, we're going to say it. Thank you, Australia, for tuning in. God is good. I'm going to say God is good. And when I say God is good, everybody go like this. We're going to do this for Philip. Right, but God is good. Praise God. Philip, that was for you. We love you. God bless you. But I'm really encouraged this morning. I'm really encouraged. I really believe the Lord has shown me something that I'm going to share with you guys. But even as the message, as the service started and worship was going on, and even when Dahlia get up, I'm already encouraged. I'm already encouraged by what the Lord is speaking today, by what the Lord is doing today. And I pray you be encouraged wherever you're at right now. I pray those here and those listening, those watching are encouraged in the Lord and they find the strength in the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're in control. We thank you that where we are, Lord, your presence is there, Father. Lord Jesus, we do this to glorify you, Lord, to give you all honor, to give you all glory. It's a privilege to worship you. And Lord, I just want to thank you once again, Lord. Move in our family's lives, Lord. Father, your peace in our homes, Father. We just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to thank, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Rao and Dahlia, the worship team, the sound, the electrical equipment, and all the technology stuff that I don't know nothing about. But I'd like to thank everybody that's doing this, that we've been able to stay connected through all these weeks, months, seems like years and centuries. And look, I got gray hair now. I had long hair. When this first started, I had long hair. It was black and it was thick. And now look it. But time does that. Look back in the archives of the videos. Long hair, probably like right here. But anyways, God is good. And I want to thank you guys. Thank you. Continue to pray for your leaders at church, work. Students, we're starting school. I'm going to say something crazy. You guys ready? Pray for your teachers, right? I know that's unheard of, but pray for your leaders. They need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Amen? But we're going to be, I want to read you a verse, and we're going to be in 1 Kings 19 today. And I want to read you a verse, and it's from actually from 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, and it reads like this. Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. So what's happening here is Israel had just beat the Syrians, right? They attacked them, they defeated them, victory for Israel. And then it says that they were regrouping. And the king of Syria, they told him, they said, hey, listen, the reason we lost here and the reason we're losing and the reason we were defeated is because we fought them in their turf, right? We fought them in their territory. We fought them on the mount, on the hills. So their God, they said, their God is a God of the hills. They said, that's why we lost, because we went to their turf and lost. So let's do a strategy here. Let's fight them down in the plains or the valleys. Let's fight them down here, and then we're surely going to beat them, right? So this was the strategy of the enemy. Long story short, they tried it again, and they lost, right? God says, because they thought that I was only a God, because they thought I was a restricted God, right, you will defeat them again, right? There's no restrictions to the Lord. That's good. That's good news. There's no restrictions to God, right? There's no limit. There's no, God is everything, everywhere, all powerful, all knowing. And they thought here, the enemy thought here, we're going to strategize and we're going to say, let's take them out of their good place, a high place. This is where they're at, and let's bring them down here. This is a plan that the enemy uses in our lives. This is a plan that he thinks, if I can get them out of this point, if I can get them out of here where it's going good for them, then we can surely defeat them. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, it says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Okay? So we went... I know that's reverse order, but I just wanted to share this about the strategy of the enemy, where he thought, well, I'm going to get him out of here, and then I'll beat him down here. But in verse 9, we see something going on here. We see that Elijah is in a cave. It says, and he spent a night in that place. And it says, the word of the Lord came to him. And it says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, Elijah here, as some of us know, is one of the greatest prophets, right? I don't know where you guys rank him, right? A lot of them walked. Jonah used a whale, right? They went different types. They tried different strategies. I know you're laughing at home. But it says here that he was in a cave, and the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What brought him to this place? How did he end up in this place where God had to say, what are you doing here? This is one of the great prophets. And sometimes we have thought to ourselves, how did I get here? Right? There may be moments where you sit back or you're thinking about it and you're like, how did I end up in this place? How did I end up at this spot? Or how did I end up with these people? Or how did, right? Whatever the situation may be, you may have moments where you think, now listen, if it's something bad where you're like, man, what happened here, right? The prodigal son realized, man, I had it better in my father's house, right? And he came to his senses and he returned, right? So if you've asked that question, or if you're asking that question right now, how did I end up here, right? And if it's not good, then we need to come to our senses, right? And return to where it's good. Amen? And if it's good, if you say, hey, man, look at how we're here now. We used to have it so bad over here, and now look at how good it is, how good it's going. Then you know what we do there is we go to the best. No. What we do there is we give God the glory, right? Give God the glory, because if we try to say, I did this, and I did it with my strength, I mean, there's no strength here. But if I try to do it, then we're going to fall. Pride comes before the fall. Right? So it says, how did I get here? What are you doing here? And like I said, we may ask this of ourselves. How did I end up in this place? My journey, my life. I had these plans. I remember long time ago when I had the long hair. I was working in a trailer dock. And I had these plans. And I had these plans of my future. I thought, listen, I'm in construction right now. I work in construction. But I thought I was going to be an office guy. You guys picture me, suit and tie and briefcase. That's how I saw it. I saw myself like that, briefcase and everything. Maybe some fake glasses just so I could look even more smarter. But that's what I thought I was going to be. And I went to college and I went into business management. And yes, we're on a roll. Ended up dropping out. Boom, boom, a lot of stuff. I'm not going to share those things. Not right now, at least. Because I only got 20 more minutes. But a lot of stuff happened, a lot of bad decisions. But anyways, I'm fast forward. I'm working in a trailer dock. And I have a pallet jack, and I'm going in and out of this trailer. And I'm going in, and I'm getting my pallets, and I'm bringing them out, and I'm just doing my work. And all of a sudden, as I'm in this trailer, and I'm getting my next shipment, all of a sudden, this moment came to me, and I was like, what happened? What just happened? Like, how did I end up here, right? Now, I'm not saying, if you unload trailers, God bless you, right? If that's where the Lord has you, God bless you. But I had a moment where I said, this is not what I planned, right? Anybody be there before? Right? This is my plan. This was my list. Lord, this was my plan. It was supposed to work out like this. And that's where I had that moment. This was not the plan that I had. This was not where I was supposed to be. And now I'm in here doing this work. And I had this moment. And I said, what happened? And this is that moment where I started to surrender. There was some other stuff happening, but this is the moment where I said, Lord, and I started giving it to the Lord. I said, Lord, what happened here? And then after that, there's some steps that happened, things that happened in my life, where eventually I gave my life to the Lord. But it was a moment where I stopped and I said, what am I doing here? What is going on? Right? Why am I here? What happened? Elijah, like I said, was in this cave. And this is the same Elijah in chapter 18, one chapter before, that had great, great victories. Victories that we talk about a lot. Victories that are shared a lot, right? He had great victories. Victory at Mount Carmel, where fire from the Lord fell, right? They had the two sacrifices. And then all the prophets of Baal were slaughtered. They were, right? He wiped them out. A great victory, right? It was only him against all of these guys. right? One against many. And he had the victory. The Lord gave him the victory. And he had this great victory, right? He even filled it up with water. He even mocked them, right? Those are my favorite parts, right? He said, maybe he's asleep. Wake up your God. He can't, right? But there's a lot of stuff going on. But we see here that he has a great victory. And after that, he wipes out the prophets, right? He pretty much is a picture of, I got rid of all the evil here, right? A great victory for him, Philip. And then after that, he prays for rain. There's a drought, and he goes, and it says that he prays for rain. And here it is where the servant goes out. He says, I see a cloud as small as a man's hand. And he says, okay, tell him it's going to rain. Go eat. You better get out of here, king. This is my version. Better get out of here, king. It's going to rain. Go. Right? So he prophesies the rain is coming, and we see another victory. And then I like at the end of chapter 18, which is one of my favorites, it says that he girded up his clothes because it was too long. He tied it all up. I don't know exactly how, what the picture is. You guys can picture it however. But he girded up, tucked it in or whatever, and he started running. So the king had left within his chariots back right to his palace. And it says that he got ready and he says it ran. And then it says at the end of chapter 18 that he outran the chariot. Right? It says he outran the chariot. I mean, I'm like, man, this is cool. This is a cool part right here. Why is this in here? I just like it, though, that he outran a chariot, right? But it's a sign of he went back, and pretty much his position was restored, okay? He went back ahead of the king with his advisors, and he was showing that he's still honoring the king, and he's there to serve the king. But we see all these things, victory, prayers answered, positions restored. Before this, the king was trying to kill him, looking for him everywhere. But it says we see all these things. And the things were looking good. Things were going good in his life. These are called the mountaintop experiences. Right? These are called mountaintop experiences when things are going great. Fantastic. You're hearing the word of the Lord. It's clear. Amen. You're just going, your shadow's healing. Right? They're awesome, awesome moments that the Lord continue to have for everyone in here and the millions watching. Mountaintop experience, which are great. As we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, after he does all these things, it says in verse 1 of 19, it says, and Ahab, the king, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he immediately went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. So we see here that after these victories, we're going to see here that Elijah, I try to make the points and everything, but we see here that Elijah encountered 17 points here. I'm kidding. Three things. But we see that he encounters fear, then we're going to see that he encounters provisions, and then we're going to see that he encounters the word of God, right? And first we see that he's going to encounter fear. As we read here in these verses, that there came a threat from Jezebel, the queen. And now this couple here, this duo here, was very wicked. Right? They're probably the worst duo in the Bible. She killed the prophets of God, and she was just mean. Okay? Mean, capital M. But it says that after this happened, that he went back, as we read, he outran the chariot, got there ahead of him, and he was there, and he stayed there. And then the king went and told the queen, told his wife, everything that had happened. And maybe Elijah thought, cool, they're finally going to repent of their wickedness. Maybe he thought, finally, we're going to get through them. They saw that they got defeated, and they're going to allow the Lord to move in their lives. They saw that they have no choice. And they thought maybe this, and maybe he thought this is the time. But instead of that, Jezebel had other plans. She did not see and she did not allow what God was doing to move her life for nothing. Instead, she sent a threat and said, I'm going to kill you. He said, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. And the threat caused him to fear and to run for his life. I don't know how many NFL fans we have watching. But like I said before, I'm a sports fan and I like to use sports example. But there's a phrase called Monday morning quarterback. Anybody know that one? Monday morning quarterback is pretty much the games happen on Sunday, which you watch later in the day because you're in church. But Monday morning quarterback is after you see all the highlights or after you see the game, you're sitting there in your chair and you're like, man, he should have done this, or he should have passed it over here, or he should have done this, right? We're yelling at the TV sometimes. Why did you throw it there? I watch baseball a lot, and there's a pitch that goes down the middle, and sometimes I say, man, you should have swung. Why didn't you swing at the ball? I would have swung, right? But then I forget that the pitcher's 60 feet away, and the ball's coming 100 miles per hour. That changes things. But Monday morning quarterback is when somebody, right, thinks after the fact, here's how you should have done it. Right, I am the expert after it happens, after we see it happens. And as a Monday morning quarterback, you see what happened here with Elijah, and Jezebel threatens him, and you're like, man, what are you doing? You just finished calling down fire from heaven, right? And you beat the prophets of Baal. And even before that, when they were going to come and arrest him, right, a captain and 50 of his men came. And he says, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you. And it happened twice. So three times he's seen that fire has come down from heaven and consumed him. So as you're sitting there and watching the game and you're like, why didn't you just call fire again? Right? You could. I mean, you've seen it done. You've done it. You've been part of this. Why didn't you just do it a fourth time? That would have been end of story. Right? First Kings would have ended at that chapter. Why? What happened here? What? But fear entered into him. The threat caused him to fear and run for his life. As I said, he could have called fire as he'd done before. He could have given it to the Lord as he'd done before. But something caused him to fear. There was something that entered in and caused him to fear. And we may all have things or have experienced things where you fear you're doing good and then one little thing slips in and it causes you to have that fear, maybe have that doubt. Maybe you have a situation where you just want to get out of there, right? I don't want to be there. I want to get out of there, right? He came to this point, great man, great prophet of God, right? Defeating many, right? The Lord using him mightily. One word, one phrase, I'm going to kill you. And it says he feared for his life and he ran and he took off. And it says that he went, he even left his servant. He even left him there, and it says he went alone. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under the tree. And then he prayed a great, powerful, full of faith prayer. No, it says he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. In verse 4 here it says, we see that he is alone, he's tired. There's self-pity. He wants to die, right? We see just defeat just coming in and just punching him and punching him and punching him, right? The door was open to for all these things to enter in, and it was just driving him deeper and deeper and deeper into this depression, right? And it was happening. It was going more, and some of us may have lived it. Some of us experienced it. Whatever the case, if you're feeling in a certain place right now, I really pray you'll be encouraged today, because it led him to this point where he said, I want to die, right? Just take my life. And he even said, I'm not even better than the people before me, right? I failed. And maybe it could have been, I read in some commentaries that maybe it could have been because he had his eyes on the king and the queen and he was expecting them to change. And maybe because that didn't happen, he probably felt, man, I failed. Man, I messed up. Or it wasn't this. When we do things for the Lord, we do things for the Lord and allow Him. I know that's easier said than done, but we allow Him to move as He pleases. A lot of times we have our family members and then we try to reach our family members, but he's using us to touch neighbors or friends and not our family members. Somebody else will touch their lives. Have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Right? Just continue to honor and give honor to him. See, the enemy would rather remove Elijah from the scene and to stop the work that the Lord is doing. Many people had seen and they cried out, "The Lord, he is God." After Mount Carmel, they said, "Wow." And he went back into the place. And many people were waiting for their next instruction. Or, you know, "Tell us more, Elijah." And the enemy said, "Instead, I'm going to remove you." She probably also, like we said, he could have just called fire. She could have just said, "Hey, soldiers, go kill that guy." Right? But it didn't happen that way. Instead, he was removed from the picture. He fled for his life. And as we see in verse 5, it says, "And as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." So as we see here in these verses, he had this encounter with fear. And fear caused him to do something. Fear caused him to go somewhere. Fear caused him to go away from what the Lord was doing. And now we're going to see an encounter. He's going to encounter the provision of the Lord. And this is good news. It may not be a good situation, but it's good news when we see this. It's good news when we see that the Lord cares. In spite of what we're going through, in spite of what's happening in our life, it's good news to see that he cares and he has provisions for us. And as we see, he said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." Everybody here is on a journey. Everybody watching is on a journey. And he says, "Arise and eat, because this journey is too great for you." I read in the commentary, it says that we must cross when we're in a mountaintop and we're going to get to the other mountaintop, that we must cross the valley first to get to the other mountaintop. So sometimes to get to the other point where the Lord has us, we need to cross this area, right, to get higher, right? Even if we're going from high to high, we still got to go through a plane so we could go high. So to get to these points, from one point to the other, sometimes we need to go through this valley, right? The enemy, as we shared in the beginning, thought we lost because they are people whose God is the God of the hills. Let's bring them down to the valley, and then we surely will destroy them, right? The enemy thinks, "I could bring them down here." And sometimes we got to go through these low points in our lives. Sometimes we go through these low points in our lives and it doesn't feel good. And there are points where we feel discouraged, we feel alone, we feel ashamed, we feel afraid, whatever the words may be, we feel these things. And we feel these things go through our lives. We feel nobody's with us. What do I do? We're lost, we're confused, whatever the case may be. But we must cross these valleys, because he has another mountaintop point for us. There's another mountain ahead, and there's another point ahead where we should go. I heard a pastor once say, "God will close one door to open another, but there's hell in the hallway. Sometimes we may go through stuff in our life, and we may go through stuff, and things may affect us, things may come against us and try to attack us. But we got to remember one thing, that the Lord, he fights for us. The Lord is in our side, is on our side. The Lord is with us. And as we're going to see here with Elijah, eventually he's going to see that the Lord is with him. And the Lord is going to help him. The bread and the water are telling him and are telling us that we cannot make it on our own strength or our own reserves. Sometimes we may try to use a past victory, a past moment, and try to use that and say, "Well, we're going to use it again." And the Lord may have a new experience for us, may have something new for us in our lives. We can't make it on our own strength. We're going to need God's provision in our journey. He was about to go 40 days to Mount Horeb, and he was about the wilderness 40 days and meet the Lord where Moses met the Lord, go in the wilderness as the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 days. And he was about to go through these moments. He was about to go through this. The Lord had something for him, and he needed the provisions of God. He needed God to help him. So there was bread and there was water. You can picture whatever kind of bread. There's some good bread out there. But there was bread and there was water for him. And it says he slept, and then again he awoke, and then there was bread and water for him again. And then that's where the angel of the Lord says, "Arise and eat, for your journey is too great for you." We can't go on in this life on our own strength. We can't go on our own. We're going to fall short. We're going to get tired. We're going to, right? It's not going to end well if we try to do this on our own strength. You may think it's going well. You may think I'm doing a great job. You may think all these things. But we can't do it on our own strength. We got to give it to the Lord, and we need the Lord's help. There's provisions as we go. You know, I thank God that in my life, as I've gone through things, as things have troubled me, as I've gone through bad experiences in my life, that the Lord has provided a way out. The Lord has sent somebody in my life to help me, right? There's been different things. He surrounded me with friends, gave me a good family that helps and supports, right? He's placed many things around us and around you that he's provided the provisions, and sometimes we don't see them. Sometimes we may be asleep and we need to be woken up and say, "Hey, here's your food, right? Eat and drink. Your journey, take it for your journey." We're all on this journey. Some going this way, some going that way, wherever the Lord is taking us, but we need his provisions. And right here we see Elijah encountered the provisions of the Lord. He gave him these things to sustain him. You're about to go on this journey. You're about to go to this place. We're going to need his provisions. We need to daily declare our dependency on the Lord. David, while he was in the wilderness, he wrote in Psalm 63:1, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." He was in the wilderness. Not a good place. He was in hiding. But he's still saying, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I depend on you. Lord, help me," right? Whatever things are going on, we wake up in the morning and we acknowledge the Lord. We declare our dependency on the Lord. And he provides us with the bread and the water. He says, "Here you go for your journey." We need it. We cannot do this on our own. The Bible says that he went 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there, he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." So we see here now, he's encountering now the word of God. He's encountering now the word of the Lord. He gets to this place. There's fear. There's a threat in his life. There's an attack in his life. And there's fear. And it causes him to run away. And it causes him to say, I am nothing. Take my life. He says, enough already. Right? I know, and maybe, well, probably not everybody here. Right? Maybe somewhere else. You wanted to throw in the towel and said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And that's enough, Lord. Right? I've taken so much. Maybe we said these words. Maybe you're thinking the words now. And he came to this point where he says, enough, I want to die. And we see that even in that moment, even in that stage, even as he's struggling, and even as he has the desires of ending his life, and I don't want to do it, the Lord is still providing for him. The Lord is still making a way. So many times the Lord has helped us in our journey, and we have not seen it. Maybe later on we have seen it, we have realized it. But we see that what finally when he gets to the mountain, we see that Elijah is discouraged. We see that he's at a point where he feels, I have failed you, Lord. And we see that he's at this point, what am I going to do? I'm defeated, I lost. There's nothing good. The Lord asks him this question. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Insert your name. What are you doing here in this place? And this wasn't a statement of like you caught him off guard and you surprised the Lord and he says, wow, what are you doing here? Right? This wasn't a statement like that. It was, what are you doing here in this place? The Lord has opened the lines of communications between him and Elijah, and he is now encountering the word of God. A lot of times we're running, we're hiding, we're whatever, skipping, jumping, trying to get away as much as we can. And we're trying not to be a part of what God's doing, whatever the case may be. And the Lord is still chasing after us. He is discouraged. Elijah is discouraged. And so many men, great heroes of the Bible, right? We hear many great stories. And then we see their failures, right? We rejoice in their victories. We learn, right? And I thank God that he shows us both. I thank God that he shows us both sides, the spiritual side and the human side. And we learn from these victories and these failures. But Satan attempts to use discouragement to drive us to inactivity and to eventually hide in this cave. He drives us to this point and he wants to continue to pour, just as the Lord wants to pour out his spirit, he wants to continue to pour fear and he wants to pour doubt and discouragement and depression and all these things that are just beating us up and beating us up and beating us up. And he wants to continue to do these things, and if we continue to allow him, he's going to continue to try to beat us up and beat us up ultimately until we are destroyed and removed from the scene. But there's good news here. Even as Elijah felt so discouraged, and after this question came, what are you doing here? Listen, I know we've been quarantined now for I don't know how many days. Anybody keeping track? 7,472 days or something like that. Some of you are going out already. Some of you are working. Praise God. Whatever the case, whatever situation you're in, you're still at home, whatever. You're wearing masks. I don't have mine. It's over there. I brought one. It's over there. You're wearing your mask. You're staying away. Social distance. All these rules, all these regulations. What is happening? Maybe you think to yourself, what is going on? What dost thou thiseth meaneth? Right? That's the newer King James from the old King James Version. What does this mean? What is going on here? And a lot of us have our own opinions. I mean, if you put the TV on and you spend 10 minutes on the TV, you're going to hear one professional, you're going to hear another professional, and they're going to contradict. One says, wear this mask. One says, wear this mask. And one says, do this and do this. I'm not here to tell you. I'm not going to But I just want to say this. There's different opinions out there. There's different things going on. And a lot of it could be confusion. And a lot of it could be like, man, do I step here? Do I go this way? Do I walk this way? I'm not sure what to do. I want to do this, right? I pray. I mean, thank the Lord that we have a camera in front of us and all you can see. But I pray that we can all be here, right? I'm a big high fiver. And I want to high five you again, right? High five right now through the camera. And we don't know. We hear these opinions and this conspiracy here and these thoughts here and all these things are going on everywhere, just causing confusion and chaos and whatever. And maybe causing fear. But in spite of all that, and as we heard during worship and there was prayers going forth, God is in control. God is in control. We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may not be experiencing it, but God is in control. And God is on the move. Elijah does not see it. Elijah got to a point where he said, I am alone. He's in this place. I'm alone. He says, I failed you, Lord. Right? He asks him, what are you doing here? And he says, I've been zealous for you, Lord. And they, the children of Israel, have forsaken your covenant. They tore down your altars and killed your prophets. And I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Those words start popping out a lot when we get into this place. I and they and, right? It's them and you and all these things. He's at this ugly place where he feels discouraged. He feels threatened. He's alone. He feels like a failure. But I want you to know that in God, in the Lord, there are no failures. The victory belongs to the Lord, and he has given it to us. We walk in victory. Freedom, as it was saying earlier, over there, freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns in your lives. Freedom reigns in your hearts. Freedom reigns in this place. And the good news is that God, even if we're in a cave, even if we're in this place, and we don't know if we can even open the blinds because the virus might jump in, we don't know these things. But whatever place we're in, and whatever situation we are in, the good news is that God can enter into this cave. God can enter into this situation. God can enter and speak to us at that place. It's good news to know that he doesn't say, well, here, get right, do all these things first, and then I'll come and speak to you. It's good news to know that no matter where you're at what circumstance you're at, how you're feeling, God can enter into that place and speak to you, and you can encounter the Word of God. And my prayer, and I know the prayer here, is that we can all encounter the Word of the Lord in our lives, that we can all have this relationship with the Word of the Lord. We can all have this relationship with the Lord where we can speak to Him and we can receive this nourishment. We can receive the provisions. We can seek help in our lives. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah told him the problem. He said, what are you doing here in this place? And it's a time where we should step back and see what's going on, what's happening around us, right? What is going on? The Lord was opening the line of communication, and I like that he allowed Elijah to just open up his heart and bare his heart and say, Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at. I'm struggling right now. And if that's where you're at right now, share that with the Lord. Give that to the Lord. Right? Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Give that wherever you're at. Don't say, Lord, let me get good first and then we can talk. No, where you're at right now, speak to the Lord right there. He says, what are you doing here? God didn't ask, what is the problem? But He said, what are you doing here? Elijah told him the problem. What are you doing here, Elijah? And well, here's my problem. Here's what's going on. We've done that. We do that so many times. Like I said earlier, this didn't surprise God when he was there. He didn't say, what are you doing here as a surprise, like you caught him off guard. He allowed him to share his heart and to cast his cares onto him, to draw him close again, to bring him back into alignment, to bring his heart back into alignment with his. What are you doing here? He wants to open up these lines of communication. What are you doing here? He wants to speak to our hearts. What are you doing here? What are we answering him? Cast our cares. And then finally, we'll wrap up with this. 25 more points. In verse 15, it says, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Then he gives them instructions. He says, then the Lord said to him, go. Go. Say, go. Thank you. Now maybe the response the Lord was looking for here wasn't, show me your problems. What is it that you need? Right? The response he was looking for here was, what is it that you would want me to do, Lord? What are you doing here, Elijah? What is it that you would want me to do? See, God knew he felt alone, and he spoke to that matter. He told him there's 7,000 in Israel standing for God. And he says, go anoint Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. Go anoint the next generation that's going to continue on in this work. Go anoint the next group. Wherever you stand in your journey, you may think, well, I'm done, I'm too old. No, go anoint the next generation. There's still plenty to do. There's still plenty that you can share the word of God with. There's still plenty that you can help. You can encourage. You can be there for. You can show them. Talk to them about what the Lord has done in your life. Share your testimony. There's so much more we can do still. But I failed so many times. So what? We repent. We align ourselves back to the Lord. And we move on. He said, go. He says, after these things, then the Lord said to him, go and return your way. Get back to what I had you doing. Get back to this ministry. Get back. You're going to anoint these people, and this work is going to continue. Even your replacement, Elisha, he's going to continue. But you need to go and anoint these people. You need to go and do these things. Your work is not done, Elijah. Go, there is still work to be done. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest because the harvest is truly plentiful. The harvest is truly plentiful. So we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. In John 21, Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep. See, Peter wasn't disqualified from denying Christ. Peter wasn't disqualified from what he did. But here we see the Lord Jesus restored him. Here we see the Lord Jesus restored him and says, feed my sheep. There are still many more things for Peter to do. He thought, I'm done. He thought, it's over. I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to go fish. But Jesus said, no, there's so much more to be done. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs, feed my sheep. There's so much more to be done. There's so much more. If you're feeling discouraged, provisions of the Lord are there. Align our hearts back to the Lord. And finally, I know this is like the fourth finally. But finally, he spoke to him in an area that he needed. And he says, you are not alone. He says, you are not alone. This defeat, this shame, brought him to this place where he felt he was alone and there was no one else. And the Lord showed him, you are not alone. I'm really encouraged that I'm not just in front of a camera. There's people here with us. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. On Wednesdays, we meet through Zoom, and we are not alone. There's people, there's faces. Not everybody puts their face, but we can see your name. And we are not alone. If your children are feeling alone, on Thursdays, we meet with the kids. They are not alone. Whatever the case may be, there's ways, there's means to connect. And I know it's weird right now, and how we're connecting is not normal, but you are not alone. And maybe you showing up is going to encourage us. Right? We are not alone in this. And the Lord tells us, He shows us, He'll show us that we are not alone. He said, Elijah, you are not alone. There's 7,000 people that have not bowed down to the Baals. You are not alone in this. Now go. Now go. There's plenty of work to be done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you honor and we give you glory, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you show us, you remind us, you tell us we are not alone. We thank you, Father God, that most importantly, you are with us. You provide for us. You remove the fear. You remove the doubt. You remove the discouragement. You remove the pain. You remove the hate, the hurt. You heal our bodies. You touch our lives, Lord. We are not alone. We cast our cares to you because you care for us, Lord. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for my family, my friends, my neighbors. We are not alone in this, Father God. We thank you. You provide for the journey. You give us the provisions, Lord. Father, we just ask for your help, Lord. Our cares have been casted to you, Lord. Continue to move, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us so. How He drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean we all see. And so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Lord, we just thank you for your love, for constantly being there for us, God. Lord, we just thank you for just your beauty that you show us every day, God, even when we're not in tune with you, even when we're away from you, Lord God. You show us your beauty constantly, and you're constantly there for us, Lord God, in the midst of our doubt, our struggles, and whatever it is, Lord God. And I thank you, God, that you will love us forever, and your love will never change, Father. I just thank you for your constant mercy and grace in our lives, God. Would you show us more and teach us more, God, as we walk this life, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you.